We'll start on the top of Mem Diamond at Aleph by the two dots. Yesterday we discussed this idea of people selling themselves to the non-Jews. The last case we discussed was the Ludai, who were these cannibals. And when a person sells himself to these cannibals, there was Rav Ami discussed about redeeming this individual. Even though he was a repeat offender, he was still willing to save him because there was Sakanat Mfashot, which is what we said here, that Koshkein Ochad Ika Katala. Whenever there's like death or imminent danger to the person, we look out for their well-being first, and then we discuss their violations afterwards. The problem was that this individual was not exactly on the up-and-up, and because of that, Rav Ami was not, could not redeem him. Now, we have another story, which is Reish Lakish Zaven Nafshe Luludai. Reish Lakish sold himself out to the Ludai, to these this group of cannibals. Now, Tosfos right away jumps up and says this has to be Reish Lakish prior to being Chozer B'tshuva. This is Reish Lakish when he was still a robber. Still a Ganov, and that's why he sold himself to Ludai, because he wanted to wipe out this group. They were a problematic group, and he wanted to wipe them out. But once he was already Chozer B'tshuva, there's no way he would have been Mezalzel to take a life-threatening risk and sell himself to Ludai. So that's what Tosfos proposes here. So now, what happened? He sells himself to Ludai, Shokal Badei, Chaita V'Galgalato. Takes himself a little, carry-on. Takes a little leather pouch, and inside of this leather pouch, there is either some sort of rock, stone, lead weight, something heavy that's inside this little carry-on. Amar, he said, Gemiri, I heard there's a Mesorah about these Ludai. The Yoma Batra, on their last day, when they're eating you, and you're the dinner tonight, that they offer you Kol Dabai Minayu. Whatever you request from them, they give in to Abdile. You'll do for you Ki Heicha DeLichol Adme. Right, in order that you'll be. So there are two interpretations here. Lichol can come from the word michila. I think that Rashi interprets it as michila. I mean that they will be forgiven for killing you. That would be that was their kind of the way to placate the gods or the person by asking him his last request, last will, and that would make give them michila, or they would get michila for it. That was one possibility. The other possibility is the aruch, which is an interesting possibility, is that they thought that this would sweeten the person's blood by giving him something that made him happy and that he enjoyed before he got killed. That would actually make him tastier and sweeter. And what's lichol adame is that it would make him, mitmatek damo, would sweeten his blood and it would have better taste. So Yama Batra, so it came Reish Lakish's turn for beef for dinner. He was there dinner that day. And they says, Amrulay, my nechalach, what's your wish? Right, you get your last wish. So I'm a little bit inan. This is what I want. Akmetinchu, I want to have all of you. I want you to be tied up. Vot v'inaychu and sit you down. V'chol chad minaychu and each one of you emchenei chayto palga. I will get to hit him 1.5 times with this bag, right? This little carry-on that I have here. So come tinhu. He tied them up. Vot v'inu set them down in a row. Each one of them, kadmachia, when he hit him, chad, one time, right, chad chaita, one swing with this carry-on with the rock inside of it. They didn't realize it was a rock or something really heavy inside of it. One swing of that, nafak nishmate, they would lose their life. I mean, they would die. Now, it's not clear here. The Gemara kind of skips into the next piece. So it's either this happened to one of the Ludai, or all of them had this issue, or they didn't really pass away, but they were kind of knocked out. It's not really clear, because the Gemara just kind of segues into this next line, which is Chakine Lishine, that after he whacked them on the head, you know, they were, you know, grinning or smiling, or, you know, they were showing their whites of their teeth, like as if you didn't really kill me. So Amalei, Achuche Kamachayachbi, you're laughing at me? Akati Pash, Lucho Gabe Palgo Chaita Chaita. Right, so I still have a half hit left with the bag. So basically, you're going to be finished off. So again, I don't know if it was one of them that managed to survive the first hit, or that it was true of all of them. But nevertheless, he was able to katlinu kuhu. He killed all of them. He wiped them all out. Nofok va'ato. Right, so he went out. Yotiv ka'achel v'shati. He was drinking and eating, enjoying life. And he wasn't saving anything for tomorrow. So Amar le brate, his daughter says to him, lo bait mide lemazgo ale. Don't you need like a pillow to lay on at night, to sleep on at night? I mean, why do you eat away and just keep no savings? So Amar le biti krisi. He says, no problem. My stomach is my pillow. Right? Meaning that I don't need anything else. You know, if I'm full, I eat away, and tomorrow will bring what it brings, but going to be no savings. The kinach nafshe, this is interesting, when he passed away, shava kava de morika. He left over a kav worth of saffron. So kara nafshe, he called, said about himself, azvulu acherim chelam, that people die and they leave all their wealth to others, that they don't get to enjoy their wealth, they leave their wealth to others. So this is Rish Lakish l'shitato, that whatever he had on that day, he used up, and whatever the next day brought, he had emunah, or was ma'amin. Question of what time period this was for Rish Lakish, because you're spanning two periods of his life. One is when he was, seems to be, with the Ludai, where he was prior to him doing Chozer B'tshuva, and then later on when he's dying, which is clearly after, he was Chozer B'tshuva. But you see a consistent theme with him that maybe at one point he was a glutton, and he ate whatever was in front of him, and he would steal whatever he needed the next day. But later on in life, it could have been changed. You know, the same mido could have been changed with Tzad Emuno, which is that he trusted in Hashem to bring him whatever he needed each day, and therefore he would eat or take care, he would use up everything that he had that day, and he felt it was a waste to leave over any wealth, meaning that you can't take, right? You can't take anything with you in death, so there's no reason to leave anything over. It's a waste, because other people will spend it away or waste it, and then there's no reason for you to have worked and leave over this money to others. Right, so that's a little story of Rish Lakish, a segue about this Ludai. Right, and on to the next Mishnah, which is, a Mishnah of Tikkun Olam. Amocher tzadehu l'oved kochavim. Someone who sells his field out to a non-Jew. This is a field in Eretz Yisrael. Lokeach u'mevi. I'm going to read it, the Girsa of Rashi right now. Lokeach u'mevi menu bikurim ipnei Tikkun Olam. So Rashi's Girsa is that we, basically, it's a knas. We punish this individual for selling his field to a nochri, to a non-Jew in Eretz Yisrael, and to prevent him or to dissuade him from doing as such, right? We force him to go buy fruits from that land, and after he buys fruits from that land, he has to go bring them up as bikurim, meaning he basically has to redeem the bikurim out of the land, no matter what it costs him to do. And that's to encourage him to get either buy back the land or not to sell land in general. Right? That's the Girsa of Rashi, which says lokeach u'mevi, meaning that the one who sold the land to the Oved Chachavim now is obligated to purchase the fruits and bring them as bikurim. That's the interpretation Rashi uses above here. On the other hand, Tosfos brings and says that the girsa in the Rov Sfarim is not have, there is no vav there. It says lokeach mevi mimenu bikurim, which suggests not that the individual who sold the land must be lokeach, buy the fruits umevi and then brings them, but rather lokeach mevi. Anyone who buys fruits from this land, meaning has to then provide bikurim, has to bring up bikurim to the up to Yerushalayim. Again, this was done to prevent people again from allowing this to fall into the hands of an Ovid Kochavim and support the Ovid Kochavim with his land now and by buying his fruits. So by buying his fruits, we force you then to take it up to Yerushalayim and bring bikurim, so there's not an advantage from buying from the non-Jew. Right, so now this brings us to a machlokas, a very, very fundamental machlokas that Gemara is going to discuss now, which obviously has tremendous implications today, halacha lemaisa, and this year especially, at the Shviyas year, tremendous implications about what's the status of a nochri owning land in Eretz Yisrael. So that's going to start. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Afa pi, shein kinyan la'ovei kochavim b'Eretz Yisrael. So Rabba says that a goy has no ability to make a kinyan on the land of Eretz Yisrael, lafkia midei maiser, to remove the obligation of bringing maisrot. So meaning that no matter, even when the land ends up in the hands of the non-Jew, it's still an obligation to bring to remote maisrot from that land. Shenemar says, Kedli Aretz, right, that the land is mine, which means Li Kedushat Aretz. The Kedushat Aretz belongs to me, Hashem, and therefore you can't sell it, meaning that you aren't Balim on the Kedushat Aretz, so therefore you can't sell it to a non-Jew, or you cannot be Mafkia that Kedusha Min Ha'aretz. So that's the position of Rabo, Aval, but despite this fact, right, then, Yesh Kinyan Ovi Chacham Be'er Tisrael Lachbo Bo Borot Tzichim U'Me'arot. Nevertheless, he has a Kinyan, the Ovi Chacham has a Kinyan in the sense that he can work the land. He can dig Borot, Tzichim Me'arot, that he can actually work the land. So he has the ability to take title ownership, but he doesn't have the ability to take ownership in terms of Kedusha Taretz, to be Maskia, the Kedushat Haaretz. And therefore, if there's still Kedusha, right, then a Yisrael who buys produce from this Goy's land will have to provide the chumos and maestros and take care of all the things that are required by Kedusha Toharetz. So that's the position of Rabbah. Why does he say this? Shemayim Shem LaHashem, Ba'aretz Antan Livnei Adam. Shemayim belongs to Hashem, but the Aretz is given to man. Man has ownership, has title. Man is, what's the title? The title is for, in terms of, you know, working the land, usability of the land, and functioning of the land. What he doesn't have ownership over is the Kedusha Toharetz. That belongs to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and therefore he can't sell that out. Now, Rabbi Lazar is of the opposite opinion. Even though a goy who buys land in Eretz Yisrael is mafkia midei meiser, meaning that that property now becomes potter in chumos and meiserot, shenemar, because it says digantcha velo dagan ovid kochavim. The requirement of chumos and meiserot is only on digantcha, your dagan, not on the dagan of a non-Jew. He's excluded from the requirement of chumos and meiserot. Aval ein kinyan ovid kochavim beretz Yisrael lechpo baborot tzichim umarot. But he cannot take ownership, title ownership, in the land of Israel. Shenemar l'Hashem ha'aretz umloah. Right, the Hashem, the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If the land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then can't sell what doesn't belong to you. So you're unable to give title ownership to the goy. But if you do it, the goy has the ability. If he's working the land, if he's the one who is producing the produce of the land, he is then not, right, required, or there's no requirement to bringing Trumot and Maestrot in that instance. So now Gemara wants to know, what's this argument between Rabbah and Rabbi Lazar? So you would have thought, I mean, simply to understand that the Machlokas over here is a Machlokas in Kinyan. Whether there's a Kinyan over the Chavim to Mafkia Midei Maestro, or not Midei Maestro, what, that's the Machlokas. But the Gemara says, well, the Machlokas actually has to do where it's premised on another issue. And we're going to see the Machlokas and Rashi. It tells us how to understand this next line. So Rashi says, Haba Habitayu, means that this Machlokas that we're going to discuss now actually impacts the other Machlokas. And what's that? Mar Savar Digandcha Velo Digana Veit Kachavim. That is the position of Rabbi Lazar. The Pasuk says, Digandcha. So only your Dagan is required or Chayav in Trumot to Masrot, but not the Dagan Oveit Kachavim. And that's why the Oveit Kachavim has the ability to be Maskia Midei Trumot and Masrot. On the other hand, Mar Savar, this is the position of Rabbah, Digun-cha velo Digun Oveid Kochavim. I mean, it should have used the term Tvuat-cha. The fact that it uses the word Dagan, Dagan comes from the word Digun. Digun is to create, the, you know, to a Miruach, to finish up. Dagan is the pile of the produce that you have at the end. I mean, that's the thing that is Mechayiv you in Trumos and Maestros. So the limud, according to Rabbah, in the Pasuk is Diguncha, it's a play on the word Diguncha, which means that it's, Daguncha means Diguncha, that only if you're the one who completes the process that's Mechayiv you in Trumos and Maestros, is it Chayiv in Trumos and Maestros. But if the non-Jew does the Meiruach, then it is Mafkia Midei Maestros. So that's Rashi's position. If you look in Rashi, in the Rashi of Diguncha, Velo Diguncha of the Chavim, Rashi over there says, Miruach Oved Kovachavim Potran. Mean that a miruach, if an Oved Kochavim is the one who does the completion of the process of the grain, of bringing the grain to the point where it's now usable, then that is poter mitrumot umasrot. But any other way, anywhere else, it's going to be chayav. Why? Because Rabbah believes the karka there itself is biyado chavim lo fkad kedushata. The kedusha doesn't leave. Mean that the goy who owns the land, it still has kedushat haaretz. So if it has kedushat haaretz, it's chayav in truto maestrot. The only time that the Dagan is not Chayv and Trumot and Maestrot is if the completion of the Gemar Malocha with regards to the Trumot and Maestrot is done in the hand of the Oved Kochavim, that's Poter you, me Trumot and Maestrot. So if the Goy basically works the land, completes the whole process, and then sells it, you won't be Chayv and Trumot and Maestrot. On the other hand, if you buy it off of him, you know, either in the stalk or before the completion of the process, and then you complete it, you will be Chayv and Trumot and Maestrot because he can't be Mafkia Midei Kedushat Haaretz. That's the position of Rabbah. And the other side would be the position of Rabbi Lazar, who says what? That the Dagancha, right, is that he doesn't have the lure of Digun. He says it's Toloi in the Dagan, who is the one who owns the produce, meaning that the produce is grown by whom? And therefore, if it's grown by a guy, it's Pater. If it's grown by you, it's Chayav. So Rashi sees that the two Machlokot, that Machlokot, one is tied with the other. That the fact that you believe there is a guy as a Kinyan Ne'aretz, of Gia Midei Maestrot, is because you believe the Gan Chav, the Gan Oved Kochavim. And the reason that you believe that ain, there's no power by Obed Kochavim left gimme day chumot maestro to answer. So that's because you believe the interpretation of the pasuk is diguncha velo digun Obed Kochavim, meaning it has to do with the completion of the processing of the grain, but not the grain itself. The grain itself does have kedushat haaretz unless it's completed by the goy, which then is mafkia midei chumos maestros, because of a technical problem, which is that he completed the process to get the chumos maestros. All right, so now that's the position of Rashi. On the other hand, Tosfos says that the two shouldn't be connected. I mean, we see many tanoim that hold of digancho or diguncha, and they don't hold of kinyan aret. So Tosfos says that the two are not necessarily connected, and that the machlokas of diguncha, that even Rabbi Lozer agrees to this position of diguncha velo digun avid kochavim, that he agrees to that. If the Obed Kochavim completes the process, then right, that is also mafkia midei maestrot. And so that he agrees to that drasha. And therefore, the two are not necessarily connected, and there's other ways to get to the drasha. Meaning that since you have machlokas here between kinyan aretz and kinyan aretz, that this machlokas doesn't necessarily have a hatalya, but that these limudim help you understand, or help you understand how they got to their positions or started to get to their positions. Now, these two, Rabbo and Rabbi Lozer, are going to bring proofs to their positions to try to support to their positions. So the first support is, Amar Rabbo, Mena Aminolo, how can I prove to my position that a goy can't be mafkia mide meiser in Eretz Yisrael? It's not. They have a Mishnah. Leket shechav peya shel ovdei kochavim. When you have an non-Jew leaves, leket shechav peya, chayavin b'maser. You're required to give Meiser Elim Kain Hifkir, unless you are Mafkir the grain. Meaning that if a Jew comes along and collects this Leket Shechon Peah, he's going to have to give Trumot or Maestrot from the Leket Shechon Peah. Generally, Leket Shechon Peah are Turim from Trumot to Maestrot. Why? Because anytime something is Hefkir, anytime that the Levi and the Ani have equal rights in an object, just like you do, then that's mafkia midei chumos and maestro. Because the only time that there's a requirement of chumos and maestro is when they don't have an equal hand in the produce. So as long as when you exert ownership over produce, that's when you need chumos and maestro. But if there's no ownership, like lack of chicha and pay, where everybody's equal in it, then there's no requirement of chumos and maestro. So hey, chidami, what's this case in our Mishnah? Ilema di Israel. Right, that it belongs to a Jew. A Jew left lack of chicha and pay, viliktinu ovi kachavim. Right, so then a non-Jew comes and collects the Leket Shechav Peah. Right, so now what do you mean? What's the case here? Elaim Kain Hefkir. What do you mean? We have to, if the Jew is mafkir, it works. Right, ha mafkir evi kaime. When the Jew leaves Leket Shechav Peah, it's automatically hefkir. What does he have to mean? He has to state it's hefkir. That's an automatic part of the process of giving Leket Shechav Peah. So that can't be the explanation here. El alav must be dovi kochavim. The land belongs to a non-Jew. Viliktinu Israel, and a Jew comes and collects Leket Shechav Peah from a non-Jewish field. Time of the Hifkir. The reason is because he's mafkir the produce. If he's mafkir the produce, he'll have the same status as Leket Shechav Peah for a Jew, which means that it's not required. There's no requirement of Trumot and Masrot. Ha lo Hifkir. If he was, this non-Jew is not mafkir it, then Chayav. He would be Chayav in Trumot and Masrot. This Israel who takes this Leket Shechav Peah would have to give Trumot and Masrot. What do you conclude for that? You conclude from that that a goy does not have the ability to mafkia midei kedushat haaretz. Because the fact that a Jew now, who's taken his leket shechav peah, is required to bring trumos and maestros, must be because the goy is not mafkia midei trumos and maestros. Exactly. It's right on the, that's exactly it. I mean, if you're chayvin leket shechav peah, when you give it, it automatically takes on a standard of being mufkar. I mean, that a goy who gives, thinks he's giving leket shechav peah because he's required to, that's just not true. He's not required to give it. So unless he's absolutely, he was mafkirit, then it works. Like Shechav Peah. If it doesn't do it, it won't work. All right, so the Gemara says, lo, the olam d'Yisrael, the land belongs to a Jew, v'lektinu oiv kochavim, and a non-Jew comes to collect it. V'tekamart, your question before was, ha-mifkirei v'kaimei, that what do you mean? Why does the Jew have to be mafkirit here in order for me to be potter at Chumas and Maestrot? It's already mufkar as soon as he makes it into Lech Shechav Peah. The Gemara says, nehi d'mafkirei adaita d'Yisrael. When a Jew is mafkir, when he gives out Leket Shechav Peah, the automatic assumption is it's hufkar is when it's a Jew is going to come and collect it. Adaita dovi kachavim mi mifkirei, right? Who says that when a non-Jew comes and collects it, that's really the Jew's intent to have it be hefkir like Leket Shechav Peah. So that we say that it doesn't work unless he's mafkir it explicitly so that the non-Jew can take it. Now again, if the non-Jew takes it, there's nothing to talk about. A non-Jew is not giving trumos or maestros. The only question will become if this non-Jew then takes it and resells it to a Jew. After he resells it to a Jew, does the Jew now need to take off Trumot, and Maisot, because it derives from a land that belonged to a Jew. And what's the status of this Leket Shechem Peah? So we would have thought that the status of what this Leket, well, we do, this Leket Shechem Peah, the problem with it is that a Goy took it, and that's never was not his intent up front. So that was not his intent. His Hefker, or his assignment of this to be Leket Shechem Peah, does not work. And because of that, now we have a problem with the, right, this Leket Shechem Peah requiring now Trumos and Maisot as a soldier Jew, unless the Jew, the original Jew, whose land it is Mafkir it and says, whoever takes it, even if it's a non-Jew, it's not Chayiv in Trumos and Maisot. So that's what that Mishnah means, and it's not then a proof to Rabbah's position. Right, I was going to say, I think it's got to do with Matnot Aniyim, because it's a specific directive of the Torah to support the Jewish poor. Right. Right. I would think that's the case. I mean, unless there's evidence where he explicitly says that Hefker is Hefker. It means that I renounce ownership in it, right? Then it's open to everybody. I mean, that's even what the Mishnah says. The way we're interpreting it now is if he's Mafkir it, then there's nothing to talk about. It's only when he makes it into Leket Shechem Peah, he has a specific thing in mind where he's a specific idea in mind where he thinks it's going to go to the Aniyim or Matanot Aniyim, and therefore he doesn't think Matanot Aniyim. He doesn't think that a non-Jew is going to come and pick it up. All right, now Tashma, another possibility is Yisro shalakach sadeh mi'ovid kochavim. Yisro buys a field from a non-Jew. Ad shelo v'yashlish, before it reaches a third of its growth. So that is the onat masrot, right, for tvuah, is one-third of its growth. So v'chazar u'machra lo mishav v'yashlish. Then he goes and resells it back to the non-Jew after it came, it passed the third growth mark, the growth, you know, one-third mark. Chayevet maser. It becomes chayv maaser shekavar nitchayva, because when it reached the onat maasrot, when it reached the time that the maasrot become chayav, whose hands was it in? It was in the hands of the Jew. Since it was in the hands of the Jew at that time, it's chayav. What's implied from that? Nitchayva in. Only if it was in the hands of the Jew and became chayav would it work. Lo nitchayva lo. That had it not been in the hands of the Jews, had it been in the hands of the oved kochavim during the point where it reached that point of onat maasrot, it would be patur from Trumot and Masrot. If that's our patur from Masrot, that's the case, that sounds like Rabbi Elazar, that a goy has the ability to be mafkia midei Masrot in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi says, no. And what's Rabbi going to answer? Is Halcha Maiskian and Besuria. That, Bryce was talking about a case in Surya. What's special about Surya? Surya was land that was near Eretz Yisrael. Because Savar, and he believes, Kibush Yachid lo shmei Kibush. Conquest of an individual is not considered a conquest, and therefore Surya never took on Kedushat Aretz, Kedushat Eretz Yisrael. We saw earlier in the Masechta, the Machlokas between Rashi and Tosfot, about what is Kibush Yachid. Rashi repeats his position here of Kibush Yachid means an individual went ahead and conquered it. I mean, David, HaMelech, went and conquered it, but not Kol Yisrael Lo Ayusham. Not all of Kol Yisrael was there to conquer it like the time of Yoshua, and therefore it lacks Kedushat Aretz. Tosfot brought the alternative shot, the one that we're more familiar with, which is that Yeshua had not, David had not conquered all those places that were considered Eretz Yisrael proper, and therefore you could not extend the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael to add on Kedushat Aretz until the Eretz Yisrael itself was in possession and had Kedushat Aretz. So that failure is if it covered Kibush Yachid. Now, based on that, that means that Surya is only Chayav in Trumot de Masrot mi de Rabbonon. Rabbanan made it chayv in Trumos Maasrot, number one, so Jews would not leave Eretz Yisrael to go to Surya for the benefit of not paying Trumos Maasrot. Number two is they did it so that the Aniyim would have a place to go during years when there were, you know, problems or Shviyis and other things where there wasn't a lot of available. They could go to Surya to collect Trumos Maasrot because there was no Shviyit in Surya. They actually, in some of these Gemara discussed other places, the possibility that there was another, they had a seventh year of Trumot Maasrot, meaning that they continued the cycle, they never had a Shvi'it. Nevertheless, if it's Mid Rabbanon, the Rabbanon in those areas said, you know what, that if the Ovid Chacham comes and buys that land, it's Mafkia Midei Trumot Maasrot. So despite the fact that's not true in Eretz Yisrael, but since Trumot Maasrot is only Mid Rabbanon Surya, they say if a non-Jew buys it, then the Takana the Rabbanon falls away, and it goes able to be Mafkia Midei Trumot Maasrot in Surya. So now, the Gemara says, Tashma, another proof. We have a brisa. Yisrael, v'ovei kochavim shlachusa debishutfut. A partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew. What happens to the produce that comes out of there? So, tevel v'chulin mu'uravim zebazeh divrei Rabbi. Rabbi believes that now all this grain is mixed up. You have tevel and chulin. Why? Because the Jew is chayiv in Trumat Masrot, so his stuff is Tevel. And the Goy is patur mi Trumat Masrot, so his stuff has no assignment of Tevel. And now they're all mixed together. Now Rashi thinks they're mixed together to the point that how do you take off Trumat Masrot from this? Rashi says if you do it mine uve, it works. Meaning that if you take Trumat Masrot from this grain itself, it'll work. Because whatever is chayav will be in any mixture that you take out of this grain, you'll have an equal percentage of the Goy and the Jew's ownership in that mixture. Therefore, when you separate out the Trumas and Maisos, you'll be taking off the Chayav on the Chayav and the Patur on the Patur, and it'll work. So no problem, you can do Mine Uve. Tosus challenges that position of Rashi and says that he does not think that's the case. He thinks that it does not work Mine Uve, and there's no Takana. He says basically this Tevel has no way to be fixed, although he does. After saying that, he gives the suggestion that you could be Mafrish, Trumat Masrot, from another pile that you have that's Chayav and Tevel. But because this stuff, you're not sure how much of it is Tevel, the new Trumot Maestro that you take off, only a portion of them will really be Trumot Maestrot. And then you have to be Mafrish Trumot Maestrot on a portion of the Trumot Maestrot that are not really Trumot Maestrot. And you do that like in an asymptotic way until it comes so small that there are no more Trumot Maestrot to take off. It's a very difficult thing to do, but he makes such a suggestion. But basically, according to Tosfos, this is like an unsolvable issue. Now, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Shalovit Kachavim Patur, Vishal Yisrael Chayav. That which belongs to the non-Jew is patur. I mean, whatever possession he takes, whatever his percentage he takes, will be patur. And whatever the Jew takes will be chayav. Somebody says, "I can lo pligi elo de masaver yesh breira, masaver ein breira." Difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is whether there is breira here or not. Meaning that Rabbi believes no breira, and therefore when you divide up the grain later on, you're getting a mixture of what belonged to you and a mixture of what belonged to the guy. So everything that you have is a mixture. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel believes that there is breira. And therefore, whatever you got really belonged to you. And whatever the guy got belonged to him. So there's no mixture anymore. What he got is patur, and what you got is chayav. So that's what the difference. That's the difference in their opinion. The difference in their opinion is, what grain that I have in my hand, does that belong to me and it always belonged to me? Or the grain I have in my hand is really a mixture of our partnership. And what I got was just a 50% of the mixture that's in there. And I just got a fixed percent of the mixture of mine and his. So again, the nafkamina will be this, what Tosfos and Rashi are discussing is how do you take off, according to Rabbi, how do you take off Trumas and Maestros from this Tevel? According to Rashi, you can do it Mine Uve, you can take it off from that pile itself. According to Tosfos, there is no Takana for it, according to Rabbi. But, I'd go on, the machlokas here is in Breira, Aval Kuliyama, Yesh Kinyan Ovde Chomer, Tishol Vgdei Midei Meister. It's clear from both opinions that they believe that a goy's portion of the grain is Patur. And the fact that the goy is either patur because he got his stuff, and that's patur, or it's patur because it's a mixture of tevel and chulin. But why is it chulin? It's chulin because the goy has a possession in order to be mafkia midei trumos and maestros. So this is, again, a support to the position of Rabbi Lazar. Halchanami, what's going to be the answer for Rabbi is that this is Suria. This whole Bryce is talking about a case in Suria. So in Suria, yeah, you're right. I agree with you. In Suria, where it's old midei rabbon and the trumos and maestros, there the goy can be mafkia midei trumos and maestros. Again, the same position we had before, that Surya does not have a status of Kedushat Aretz because it was a Kibush Yachid, and that's not sufficient to create Kedushat Aretz. Amar Rav Chiya Ba'avin, Tashma, never proof of a Braisa. Our Mishnah, Amocher Sadeo Lo'ovei Kochavim, Lokeach Umevi Bikurim Mipnei Tikun Olam. Mipnei Tikun Olam In, Midoraita Lo. The reason you have to bring Bikurim from the field is a Takanas Chachamim. Not Minatora. Minatora, the goy bought the land. There's no requirement of Bikurim anymore. Once there's no requirement, because Minoraisa, he has the ability to be Mafkimi Dei Trumas Maisos. We have a Tikkun Olam that says, no, you got to bring the Bikurim from there. So Amar Rav Ashi, Shteik Takanot Havu. No, that's not correct. There are actually two Takanot here. Mi'ikara. So listen to this. Mi'ikara Havu Maiti Mideoraisa. Originally, they used to bring up Bikurim Minatora. Meaning that a goy does not have the ability to be mafkia midei trumos and maestros, and therefore the Jew would have to get the bikurim from him, buy it off of him, and then take it up to Yerushalayim to have it brought as bikurim, because minatora, the property is chayav in trumot and maestros and in bikurim. So kevan de chazu, right, that the kamikre umizavne, that what was happening, the Jews were selling their land to the non-Jews, right? They saw that when they sold it to a guy, they still had to bring up the Bikurim and still had to treat it with Dushat Aretz. So they didn't think it was such a bad thing to sell to a non-Jew. They didn't think of it as such a grievous act. Why? Because it maintained its Kedushat Haaretz, and they were still bringing up all the produce to Yerushalayim, or the Bikurim, and the Trumos and Maestros, whatever was being done. So Takinu Lohu, Dolo Leitu, they made a Takana that they should no longer bring up Trumos and Maestros from this land. So in order to encourage the people to redeem the land, they would see or would feel like the Kedushat Haaretz was Mufka from this land, and since it felt like it was Mufka from this land, they would attempt or make a bigger effort to redeem the land or not sell to the Obi Kachamim. Kevan, the Chazu Demantlo Sagile, someone who didn't have the ability, meaning that he needed to sell his land, Mizavin, that he used to sell the land, the Kamishtakan be Obi Kachamim, and then it stuck with the non-Jews. Why? Because people thought that it was lost its Kedushat Haaretz. So they didn't feel compelled or pushed to redeem the land. So Hadar Takinu Lahu, then they reestablished the Takana, which is the Leitu, that they would bring it. Meaning that they returned the Halacha back to the Doraisa Halacha, which is that they would bring it up Min HaTorah. That they would bring it up Min HaTorah, and therefore it's not approved to Rabbi Elazar. The fact that they brought up Bikurim from the non-Jews' land because of Tikkun Olam here does not mean that it's only Midrabanan. That would be a proof to Rabbi Elazar, who says that Min HaTorah you would be Potter. This is actually, they say, no, even according to doubt, that it's really Min HaTorah that you bring it up. And the Tikkun Olam is a series of takanot that ended up bringing it back to the original status of Doraisa, that you bring up Chumat Masos and bring Bikurim from the land of a non-Jew, because does not have the ability to mafkia midei Chumot and Masrot. Now, Itmar. Amocher sadeo leperot. Someone who sells his field for its output. I mean, he doesn't sell the physical land. He sells the fruit or the produce that's on the land. Rabbi Yochanan Amar mevivi korat. In such an instance, a person may bring up these bikurim, you know, because he's taking all the fruit that belongs to him now, may take these bikurim up to Yerushalayim and korat, read the parsha of mikra bikurim. Mechlakesh Amar mevivi eno korat. He can bring the fruits up to Yerushalayim as bikurim, but he may not read the parsha of Mikra Bikurim. So what's their machlokas? Rabbi Yochanan Amar mevivi korat kinyan perot kikinyan aguftami. Rabbi Yochanan believes that when you get a kinyan on an item that gives you rights of usage, that's close enough or good enough to be considered a kinyan aguf. Meaning that you actually have some sort of ownership in the land. And by having some sort of ownership in the land, you can say Mikra Bikurim, right, al demasher natata li, the land that you gave to me. Meaning that the problem with someone who does not own the land is he can't say that phrase in the Mikra Bikurim. You can't say this is the land that you gave to me because it isn't his land. So but once we say that when you own output or you own production of the field, that means you also have some form of ownership in the land, that means I could say, you know, this is my land. Meshulakish Amar, Meviv Eno Kores, as you bring it, you don't read Mikra Bikurim because Kinyan Perot, Lav Kinyan Guftami, that owning the Perot is not akin to owning the land. And therefore, you can't say Mikra Bikurim in this instance. So, Eitpei Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan challenged the position of Reish Lakish. It says, by Mikra Bikurim, it says that you bring it up, Ulevetcha. Malamei Shadam Mevi Bikurei Yishto Vikore. Right? Beito is referred to as wife. Ulevetcha means that you can bring up your wife's Bikurim and read Parshat Mikra Bikurim. So what do you see from there? You see from there, what is the husband's ownership in the property of his wife? It's only a kinyan peirot. He doesn't own his wife's property. He owns the production of that property. And yet, what do we see? He can bring it up on her behalf and say mikra bikurim. So we see that kinyan peirot, the ownership of the output or production, is enough to be classified as a landowner here. So Amalei, shiny hotum. That's a different case. Dichtiv ulevetcha. Because we have a specific limud from the pasuk that's merabit, that's a riboy. The pasuk has a riboy to tell me that you can bring up your wife's bikurim and korea mikra bikurim, and read mikra bikurim. But that's not the normal case. Right? So that's the first way. So that's Rabbi Yochanan challenges Reish Lakish, shows that kinyan aperos is kinyan aguftami from a husband with regards to his wife's mikra bikurim. And then Reish Lakish retorts and says, you know, proof from there because you have a pasuk that's being merabit. That's including a wife, but that's not necessarily the natural state over here. V'ikad Amri, and some say that Reish Lakish actually posed the question. Eitvei Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yochanan, Ulevetcha, Lameich Adam Evi Bikurei Yishto V'Korei. That person can bring up his wife's Bikurim and read Mikra Bikurim. Hatam Du'ichtiv Ulevetcha. Meaning that only because the Pasuk specifically said Ulevetcha, do we allow it. Aval ba'alma lo. But in general, that would not be the case, meaning that generally, kinyan ha'peirot would not be kinyan ha'guftami. He says, Rabbi Yochanan says back to him, this is the source for my position. How do I know that kinyan peirot is kinyan ha'guftami? From this case here, Levetcha, from the pasuk teaching me that you can bring up and read Mikra Bikurim, you can read the Parsha Bikurim on your wife's produce, because you have a kinyan peirot there, and that's my proof to everywhere else in the Torah. 8 of 8. I have a question. Haya Baba Derech, who's coming on the way, who bikurei ishto biyado, and he has his wife's bikurim in his hand. Vishama shemeita ishto. He finds out that his wife passed away. Mevi vikurei. Now he brings them in to ikurei. He reads Mikra Bikurim. When his wife passes away, predeceases him, what happens to her property? The next day, his property reverts to the husband. The husband now is Yoresh's wife, and he owns the property. So why can he bring up the Bikra Bikurim up to Yerushalayim and read the Parsha Bikurim? Because he now owns the land. He was Yorishit from his wife. That's why he can say it. So Meta in, only if she passed away is he able to do this. Lo Meta lo. Had she not passed away, she would not have been able to bring it up to Yerushalayim and Bikurim, Mikra Bikurim. Why? Because it's not his land. Kinyan Peros is Lav Kikinyana Guftomi, according to this. So who Adin, the question is Lo. Who Adin, the Avagav, the Lo Meta. Even if she does not pass away, right, then it would be the case that he could bring out the Bikurim and read the Parsha. Ah, if that's the case, that agrees with the previous Brisa show, that's what I'm saying. So why does this Brisa mention Meita? What's the Chiddush of mentioning Meita? So Meita, it's strictly, we need that because Atagadachta, Ligzor Mishum, the Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. We need to make Gzera because of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina. What is the Gzera? What's the problem of Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina? Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina has a position that Batsran, Vishagran B'yad Shliach, someone who harvests his grapes, sends them up with a Shliach Bikurim, Umate, and then dies. Shliach b'derech mevi v'eno korea. Right, and the shliach dies. Umate shliach b'derech. The shliach that he sent dies along the way. The owner catches up, finds the fruits, and then ends up taking them up to Yerushalayim. He can bring them, but not read Mikra Bikurim. Why not? He owns the fruits. They're his fruits, and well, they came from his property. Why can't he? He owns the property. Why can't he read Mikra Bikurim? Shenamar, because this problem, Rabbi Yosef says, v'lakachta v'eveta. Says by the Bikurim, you must bring, you have to lakachta, you must take them, veheveta, and bring them up. One person must both gather them in and bring them up to Yerushalayim. That's at least the way Rashi learns it. Rashi learns it that the lakicha is synonymous with batsran, with the harvesting. So it must be harvested by the same individual as well as brought up to Yerushalayim by the same individual. If you have two different people bringing it up, it won't work. So in the instance where the shliach himself is bringing it up, he can't read Mikra Bikurim because the shliach, right, can't say that Asher Natatali, the Adama Asher Natatali, the land that you gave me. So that he can't do for sure. Now when the shliach died and it goes back, the owner, original owner comes and now brings it up, right, we would have thought there'd be a failure in his ability to say Mikra Bikurim, right, read the Parsha Bikurim. Why? Because the shliach took it in between. So he didn't have ownership all the way through. Because he didn't have ownership all the way through, or he wasn't the one doing the mitzvah all the way through, he loses his right to do Mikra Bikurim. Kamash Balan, that what? That the Mishnah says Meita, right? Even if she dies, nevertheless, the Baal is allowed to bring it up to Yerushalayim and read Mikra Bikurim. Again, Rashi learns that the Lakicha here is the Batsran. Tosfos, on the other hand, thinks that Lakicha doesn't mean Batsran. That's too early on the process. The Lakicha means he sets out on the way to bring up the Bikurim to Yerushalayim. All right, Tavazu Tamayu. So the Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish go according to their reasoning in another place, which is what? Itmar Mochas Adeo Bezmana Yovel. Someone who sells his field during the Yovel, when you sell your field during the Yovel, you can never sell the land. Why? Because the land always reverts back. The only thing you're selling is usage rights. You're basically leasing the land to him for the time until the Yovel. So now, Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevivi Koret, if you have land that was bought during the Yovel, you bring it up and you read it because Kinyan Peirot, Kinyan Guftami. Reish Lakish Amar Mevivi Eino Koret. You bring it up, but you can't read it. Why? Rabbi Yochanan Amar Mevivi Koret, Kinyan Peirot, Kinyan Guftami. The fact that you have usage rights, that you're leasing the land, that makes you like an owner. And that's enough to read the Parsha Bikurim, or the Mikra Bikurim. Reish Lakish Amar Mevivi Eino Koret, Kinyan Peirot, Lakki Kinyan Guftami. You have usage rights. That doesn't make you an owner. If you're not an owner, you can't read the Parsha Bikurim. Vitricha. And we need their machukas both by Yovel, as well as by when you sell your Sadeh for Peirot. Why? Deed Mar Bahahi. If we only said in this case, the case by the Yovel, the reason that he doesn't bring it up is because when he buys it for the usage, there's no other way to do it here, right? He really, there's no other way. He knows the land is going to revert back. Aval b'hach, but in our case over here, where he's mochel the peirot, adaita de gufei kanach, and he's going down with the intention that he really is going to become the owner of this land. On the other hand, if we had, right, on the other hand, ema modi le Rabbi Yochanan, in that case he would agree to Rabbi Yochanan. Vit mar b'ha, had we only said it by the yovel, but how come Rabbi Yochanan, over there Rabbi Yochanan says that what, there's no kriyat bikurim or kriyat mikra bikurim, the parsha bikurim, because, right, there it's clear that the kinyan peros has no, it'll never end up in kinyan, in ownership, because you know the land reverts back and you never intended to do any more than that. V'ha, chayim amotel le Reish Lakish, where maybe he agrees to Reish Lakish, the case where he sells it for usage, because, right, that is, there he thinks he's an owner, he thinks he's getting towards ownership and an owner in the land. Tzricha, therefore we need both instances to teach us that Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan can argue both by Yovel, as well as someone who sells his land for Peirot. All right, we'll stop over there.